Dave Delsing spent 25 years on the PGA Tour and is a lifetime member of the PGA Tour and PGA of America. Now he provides his unique perspective as a golfer and network broadcaster. It's time to go On the Range with Jay Delsing.
On the Range is brought to you by Vehicle Assurance.
And good morning. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay Delsing. I've got John Perla sitting next to me, and Brad Barnes is taking care of us here in the ESPN studios. Good morning, boys. What's going on?
Just another beautiful day in the sun, ready to rock and roll. And I can tell Meat's kind of on fire today, so it's going to be a good show.
Yeah. Well, we formatted the show like a round of golf, and the first segment is the On the Range segment, and it's brought to you by Vehicle Assurance. 866-341-9255. If you need some additional coverage, you need any sort of coverage on your car, no matter what the make, they've got it. So give those folks a call. We're skipping our social media for right now because nobody really cares. You guys are still reaching out to us. But we do want to thank Bob and Kathy Donahue at Donahue Painting and Refinishing. If you need any sort of refinishing done in your house, inside, outside, their casework, their moldings and trim stuff that they do, it's just spectacular. You've got to call them. And besides the fact, they're terrific people. 314-805-2132. All right, Pearl. Brad Thompson interview this week. Really a fun guy. This guy, besides being a great dude, had some really cool, insightful things that we can share with people. And so I'm really excited for them to hear about this interview.
Well, the idea was to incorporate golf into whatever the different interviewees' kind of career and life was. And I thought you guys were just awesome with that. There's so many cool scenarios because of kind of he was a – he wasn't a journeyman. He hit the pinnacle. But he kind of came up through it a funky way, and just great stories.
Oh, and he tells about it. And I mean, how about his record in the minor leagues anyway? Yep. So you got to stay tuned for that. We've got the Masters next week. Holy smokes. Have you got a pick?
How can it not be Bryson DeChambeau? I mean, Jay, obviously you have to do everything at these majors to get it right. But if this guy's bombing it, and I know they've tightened Augusta up to the degree they can with the rough and stuff, but that's the degree that they can. If this guy's bombing it, it's going to be a whole bunch of wedges.
Well, I thought it was interesting, John, what he said at the Players, because clearly TPC Jacksonville is not a golf course for Bryson DeChambeau because it takes the driver out of your hand. It takes so many options away from you. And he said it's such a huge confidence builder to be able to compete and nearly win on a course that just would never, just does not suit my game at all.
Well, when he's leading, I don't know the stat exactly, but when he's leading par threes.
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody's talking about bombing it. That says to me his iron play is pretty dang good too.
Yeah, no doubt.
The guy has it. That's why I'm such a fan. I just want to celebrate his genius and that he's playing out of the box. And quit with all the doomsayers. It's a lot of fun.
I got a feeling that JT's gonna be right around there. He had a tough go early in the year, and he came back and had a beautiful.
He got uncanceled. He uncanceled himself.
That's right. And he had a beautiful weekend at the Players, and 64, 68, and
he was so fun to watch at the Players, and I'm with you. I think he can absolutely do it, and he did get that goofy social monkey off his back in a classy way, which is who he is.
Right.
And I thought it was just absolutely fantastic. It's this year, the Players was a blast to watch. The rest of the majors are going to be a blast. We have so much great golf to watch this year. It's just, I can't wait.
Yeah, no kidding. And DJ, defending champ, he's kind of in a little valley, still world number one, and he kind of was following his driver off a little bit. It's going to be great to
but
see who's in the
mix.
He
has to feel great around Augusta because of his win.
Yeah.
That wasn't that long ago. He's going to be in the mix. It's just going to be spectacular. What's the latest with people getting to go in there and watch it?
It's a much smaller crowd. It's like one quarter of the tickets.
Okay, so at least
there'll be some people.
Some stuff.
It's going to be odd, but it was nice to see. This is why I really wanted to talk about the Players, and I know it's been several weeks ago, but there were fans there.
Yeah,
there were more than just
Florida baby.
Yeah, I know. There was more than just a dot of fans over here and a dot over there. You could see, and you know what, John? I've talked to the Players, and it's hard. not having the fans here. Billy Andre talked about it last week.
Yeah.
It's hard not having the fans here. It's almost like, you know, we're not saving lives playing golf, but it really felt super irrelevant.
Yeah, and it shouldn't have, because how important golf has been to the comeback for this country. But, yeah, they don't have stuff to feed off of. Now, they've also talked about some guys that aren't used to the fans have benefited because they don't have the same heat.
Yeah, that's right.
And that scenario and all the noise and the people moving around. So it's kind of good for some and not so good for others in certain ways.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Boy, it's going to be well, it's always fun to watch the majors, and the Masters is so special. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to activate again this year because the companies that I and the folks that I take down there, we can't get in because of the limited number of tickets.
Next year, man.
It'll still be it'll be a blast to watch. That's going to wrap up the On the Range segment, but don't go anywhere. We've got St. Louis Cardinals World Series champ Brad Thompson coming on the front nine. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
Hello, friends. This is Jim Nance, and you are listening to Golf with my friend Jay Delsing.
Wilson Pools Plus has been beautifying homes in the metro St. Louis area for over 30 years. They're a family-owned, full-service pool company. Whether you want to add a pool, landscaping, patios, or just have them service your existing pools, Wilson Pools Plus can handle any job. You can reach them at 314-421-1301. Or if you're calling from the east side, 618-632-2386. You can also check them out on the web at wilsonpoolsplus.com.
Marcone Appliance Parts Company needs to recognize one of their own for reaching a career pinnacle that few even dare to aspire to. West Coast Vice President Jeff Diamond is a 45-year employee of Marcone and the most recognizable icon at any gathering of service industry professionals. With flowering silver hair and a matching personality, he has listened to, learned from, mentored, and entertained the most influential people in the appliance service industry. He's a road warrior, all right, whose perseverance and drive have earned him the friendship of hundreds and the respect of thousands. Well played, Jeff. Thanks for your dedication and tremendous attitude. It's great to be on your team. Marcone Appliance Parts Company is based in St. Louis, Missouri, and is the largest distributor of major appliance parts in North America and proud distributor of General Electric Parts.
I am delighted to welcome Marie Davila to the Golf with Jay Delsing show. I'm sure you know where it is, but in case you don't, Marie Davila is a landmark out in West St. Louis County. It's located on the corner of Clayton and Wideman Roads. It's also on 21 beautiful rolling acres right on the way out to Queenie Park. It's a country club-like atmosphere. It's iconic, and it's absolutely gorgeous. When my dad died and my mom decided she didn't want to live alone, Marie Davila was the first place we called. When we pulled up, we were greeted at the front door by the owner, and he took us around on a tour of the facility. We learned that there are 1, 2, and 3-bedroom villas that you can live in, and there's also 24-hour care in the East, West, and the Waterford buildings. So Marie Davila had everything that my mom wanted. One of the things that stood out in my mind as well was the way the family-owned business treats their guests. That's right, they refer to them as guests, but they treat them like family. So if you're in the process of trying to make a tough decision for this next part of life, you got to visit Marie Davila. This is local, this is family, and this is St. Louis. This is Marie Davila. Come be our guest.
When things come out of left field, having a game plan makes all the difference. Luckily, Farmers Insurance has been helping people cover their bases for more than 90 years, and they can help you, too. Talk to Farmers agent Ed Fogelbach today to see if you have the coverage you want for whatever curveballs may come your way. Call 314-398-0101. That's Ed Fogelbach at 314-398-0101.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
After my knee replacement, I was able to swing the golf club again without any pain. SSM Health Physical Therapy guided me through the rehab process, and when I was ready, one of their specially trained KVS-certified physical therapists put me on the 3D motion capture system. Man, it was awesome. They evaluated my posture, my alignment, and the efficiencies of my swing. They gave me more golf-specific exercises to help me make my swing better. Call 800-518-1626 or visit them on the web at ssmphysicaltherapy.com. Tell them Jay sent you for a special discount. Your therapy, our passion.
Grab your clubs. We're headed to the front nine on Golf with Jay Delsing.
The Front Nine is brought to you by the Ascension Charity Classic.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. Jay and John are here, and we are going to the segment we call The Front Nine. It's brought to you by the Ascension Charity Classic. Ascension is a rock star St. Louis company that is just, they're hosting a PGA Tour Champions event for at least 4 years at Norwood Hills this September. The best Champions Tour players, Ernie Els, Phil Mickelson, Fred Couples, Jim Furyk. Oh, my gosh, the list goes on. Mike Weir.
It's just awesome.
Yep, it's going to be a blast. So, we got to do that. And I want to give a tip of the cap shout out, and that's brought to you by Dean Team of Kirkwood, 314-966-0303, to all of the golf superintendents. Probably, this is a great call. All of the golf superintendents around the country, here in town, St. Louis, everywhere, that we fought through a tough winter, whether they're cold or not, they're always tough. And these guys are working their butts off to get the golf courses in shape for us to go play.
Their teams, right? Not just the superintendent, their whole team. This is manual labor. This is a time when we don't get to see a lot of it, what they do, and all the work to get it ready for us to play the rest of the year. So thanks to them.
Thank you to Colin Burnt, my man over at the Dean Team of Kirkwood, 314-966-0303. Colin will take care of all of your car buying needs. He took care of Pearly just a couple weeks ago.
Sure did. Loved
it. Got you a new ride? Yeah, thanks, Colin. All right, we're going right to Brad Thompson, World Series champ with the St. Louis Cardinals, big leaguer, and really cool dude.
And another Cardinal draft choice makes it to the major leagues. We're going to see the major league debut. A 23-year-old right-hander, Brad Thompson, just called up. He's a baby-faced 23-year-old. He got him. Ojeda doesn't like the call, and Brad Thompson gets his first big league strikeout.
For the first time since 1982, St. Louis has a World Series winner.
Brad Thompson is brought to you by Golden Tee.
What's it like as a young guy? You always wanted to play in the bigs, and then you get drafted by an organization like the Cardinals.
You know, the funny thing is, and I'll take you a long way to answer the question. I think a lot of times you hear about Major League Baseball players, right, and their story of coming up and through, you know, through youth league, through high school, maybe getting drafted out of high school, maybe it ends up being out of whatever Division I that they wanted to go to. My path is nothing like that. From getting drafted, getting to the minor leagues, to the big leagues. I always joke around when I get the opportunity, Jay, to talk to kids, if I'm doing a camp or if I'm just doing some individual lessons, I always tell kids, look, you don't have to be the best player on the team. You just got to want it more, and you got to love what you're doing, and you got to enjoy it. You got to put in the work, because I'll tell you this right now, I have never been the best player on any team that I ever played on, ever. And I'm not talking about when I got called up to the Cardinals and you got Pujols and Rowland and Jim Edmonds and Matt Morris. And I'm not talking about that team. I'm talking about Little League, where you got Tommy and Timmy, who eats his boogers. Like, I was never the best team, best player on those teams, you know? So to be able to go to high school. I didn't even pitch in high school. I pitched like 5 innings my senior year. I played third base. I was a crappy hitter. But I got the opportunity in my senior year of high school in Legion ball, American Legion, so summer ball. I got a chance to go play and pitch. And I had a coach who said, he's like, hey, man, you've always had a good arm. I know you didn't get the opportunity to pitch much in high school. We're going to throw you. And add another wrinkle. You drop down sidearm all the time anyhow when you're making throws in the infield. What if we just drop you sidearm on the mound? Maybe we'll get a team to see you, and who knows, maybe get a chance to play some college baseball. So lo and behold, I start slinging it sidearm, and I'm throwing the ball well. We play in a tournament in St. George, Utah, and there's a school there. It's Dixie State College. Was a JUCO at the time, a Division I now. The coach saw me. And a couple of months later, I get a phone call right before school was going to start. I was going to walk on at the Community College of Southern Nevada, famously where Bryce Harper ended up going to school. I was going to try to walk on there, but I get a call right before school that said, hey, we had a kid dropped out of a scholarship to go to Oklahoma State. Would you be interested in coming? And I said, hell yes, I'd be interested in coming there and actually not having to walk on a team. So I went to Dixie State College, Jay, and I know it's not a school that probably resonates with a ton of people, but they gave me a chance. They gave me a chance to go there. I pitched out of the pen the first year. I got my first college start at the Junior College World Series in Grand Junction, Colorado, which was an unbelievable experience. And then the next year, scouts started showing up to games and mainly showed up to see our shortstop, who got drafted in the third round by the Cardinals, but I got seen it as well. So it was kind of a long route to get drafted. And the fact that it was the Cardinals growing up in Las Vegas, Jay, I didn't have the same connection to the Cardinals, obviously, that you did. I watched games on WGN, so I'd see the Cubs. The Braves would be on TBS, so I would see those. So I didn't have the connection, so I didn't get to feel that until 2003. I actually showed up to spring training. But it is unbelievable. Like, I feel like things happen for a reason, right? Like, things, everything kind of falls in place for you the way it's supposed to be. I'm just so blessed to kind of be a part of this Cardinal family. Now, I didn't know at the time when I got drafted in the 16th round by the Cardinals what this family was going to be like, but it's unbelievable.
Brad, what's so impressive, and I still want to talk about this, your playing career, but you've made such a great transition from the field to the booth. You're on the fast lane at 101 ESPN here, and it's one of the top ranked afternoon drive shows, and it's absolutely a fun listen. You guys, Jamie Rivers and Anthony Stalter, are two great dudes as well, and it's just really fun. And then your Fox Sports Midwest broadcasting career, I love listening to you and Danny Mac when you guys get together. There's something about the way that you're able to tell us what happened or what's going on. It gives great insight into the game.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I got to tell you, I never thought, Jay, that this was going to be my life. Full disclosure, Jay, I thought I was going to pitch well enough that I'd never have to work again in my life. I just figured I'd make it to the big leagues, I'd make bajillions of dollars, and we'd be good to go. I'd be out golfing with you every single day.
Like, right,
that was the goal of things. But I was so fortunate to be able to get into this. And honestly, the only reason that I had the opportunity to get into broadcasting at all is because of my good friend, the late Chris Duncan. Dunk is the one that got me in the door. It was during the off season. I was trying to come back from Tommy John. I was pitching an independent ball. And Dunk, I didn't know it at the time, but he was starting to go through some of his issues. And for a lot of your listeners that don't know Chris Duncan, former Cardinal outfielder, one of the huge reasons we ended up winning the World Series in 2006. And he made the transition to radio and Fox Sports as well. And Dunk would have been doing all these things that I'm doing right now tenfold had he not, passed away, brain tumor. But Dunk is the guy that got my foot in the door. He said, hey, if you need somebody to fill in for a little bit, Brad Thompson's in town. I think he'd be really good at this. So I went in during an offseason. I got a chance, and that part of it was great. I got in it was Randy Carricker and DeMarco Farr from the Rams at the time, and it was a great opportunity. And it's kind of grown into this, and I've been able to kind of grow into myself, on the air, showing more personality, having more fun. And when it comes to the relatable aspect of it, and I appreciate you saying that, when it comes to like Cardinal games, dude, I've been through the struggles, I've had the successes. You can look at the back of my baseball card and know I can relate to a pitcher that's having a tough day, and we can all relate to what it feels like when you have a great success in your life. I think one of the main things that I try to do when I'm specifically in the booth doing things and calling games alongside Dan McLaughlin, who's ridiculously talented, is I just try to remember how hard it is when you're out there. Because it's easy to watch the game at home and say, how did you not hit that? Or a pitch where he's like, why would you hang that slider? And then you think to yourself, hey, you idiot, how many sliders did you hang in your career? It ain't that easy. So I try to just keep that in mind while I'm going out there, because this game is hard. Baseball is incredibly difficult. They say hitting a baseball is arguably the hardest thing to do in all of sports. Some guys that hit against me would disagree, but I still think it's a very, very difficult thing, and I try to remind myself of that all the time.
Oh, my gosh, Brad, it's such a gift to be able to, there's been quite a few of you guys that played at the big leagues and have this sort of experience, but it's a real gift to be able to explain it the way you do and go, oh, okay. I can kind of relate to that sort of thing. But let's go back to the Tennessee Smokies. You broke a 97-year-old record with 57 scoreless innings. I mean, you were too short of the all-time baseball record set by Hershiser, you know, with the Dodgers. Talk to us a little bit about what that was like. But did you have it on autopilot? Were you thinking about it? For someone like me, it would have been on my mind a lot while I was going through it.
Yeah, well, I started thinking about it closer to the end, right, as we were getting there and it was starting to gain a little national traction. But this was, again, one of those things in my career, and it's just been a happenstance of, like, being very fortunate, being ready for an opportunity that shows up. But I wasn't even supposed to be on that team. I think that we had an injury late in spring training, and I was the last guy to make the roster for the Tennessee Smokies out there in Knoxville. I was the last guy to make it, you know, right at the end, say, hey, you're not going to Palm Beach. Actually, you're going to be going to Knoxville. It's like the last day of spring training. So I jump on, and it's a streak that almost ended before it began. I remember my first game I got to pitch in. I believe it was out of relief against the Chattanooga Lookouts, and I had the bases loaded, somehow got out of a jam, and then got plugged into the rotation and just rolled from there. It was unreal. And the funny part was, Jay, we've been around each other a few times. Would you agree that I probably don't look like the most scary, menacing individual in the world?
You're not the tallest, biggest guy. No, you're not.
Right. That's fair. That is fair. So when I would start showing up at ballparks and facing the opposition, remember, the media is not like it is today where you just pull up anybody and see, you know, see who they are, know everything about them. I would show up to ballparks and the opposition is like, dude, where's this monster that's getting everybody out? Like, that's got a zero ERA and he's 7-0. I'm like, oh, that's me. I'm your guy. But nothing really changed for me. It was all sinkers. So that was my thing. It was two-seam fastballs down in the zone. Pitch to contact, not a bunch of strikeouts, sinker slider, and was just aggressive. And it was a magical run in Double-A, which it talked about the pressure at the end of it. I still never forget. On the day that I was set to break the record, there were news crews there in Knoxville, Tennessee. They were doing a promotion at the ballpark with Krispy Kreme donuts, which I'll get into in a minute, but I'm supposed to have Krispy Kreme donuts for life, and they have never paid off on that. But everybody in the ballpark got a free donut for all the zeros that I've been throwing up when they came into the game. And I walk in after doing some arm treatment before I was about to go out to the field, and all the guys are in the clubhouse around the big screen TV watching the live newscast outside of the event. And they see me walk in, and everybody scrambles to shut off the TV and act like it's just a normal day. And it was hilarious. And then after the fact, I end up setting the record. And then quickly as it started, right, it went away. It was a base hit double. The streak is over. Like, that's how quickly it can happen. Pretty easy to give up a run in this game. But I remember talking to Chris Duncan afterwards, and Duncan said, dude, I had no idea that it wasn't just earned runs, it was any runs. Because Dunk famously wasn't the best fielder in the world, so thank God he didn't know that he couldn't make an error during this time, or we'd have been out of luck. But there's a lot of guys during that in 2004, Jay, that I owe some steak dinners to. I remember one play specifically, a Cardinal fan favorite, Skip Schumacher. He comes in, makes a diving play in center field, and then guns a guy trying to tag up from third base to home. We had people trying to squeeze bunt in the second inning to get a run off me, man. It was awesome. It was so fun. It was one of those times. I didn't have that many times in my career where I felt like I was like the king of the hill. But when you get out there, when you look back at the scoreboard, you see you're 7-0 with a zero ERA. I mean, I felt like I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I was going after everybody, and it was unbelievable. And honestly, had that not happened, had I not set that record, I wasn't going to be I wasn't on the radar with the Cardinals. Nobody was looking at my stuff and saying, wow, look at this prospect coming up. I was a 16-round draft pick. I didn't make much money at all out of the draft. Even before I showed up to my first spring training, I blew out my back and had back surgery. So the expectations were not incredibly high. So had that not happened, had not everything not fallen in place for me at AA, I would have never been in the position the following year to end up just getting called up to the big league.
You know, BT, it's just Oh, my gosh. These stories are just terrific. I can remember my dad playing down in Durham, and he wound up hitting a home run that hit the bull, and he actually did get a steak dinner out of that. And
That's awesome.
You know, you hear those stories, and it's so fun to see what the minor leagues do to get kind of people interested in the game. And it's really funny. So, Bud, you come to the Cardinals. I had the pleasure of playing with Tommy John in the AT&T Pro-Am, and he was just a great guy. And I was peppering him with baseball questions and things like that. And we were in the same foursome together, but he wasn't my partner. And he and his partner started doing really well. And I saw this huge change in him, Brad, where as he started creeping up the leaderboard, all of a sudden his game just went south. His golf game went south. And we were having lunch after this round. And, I mean, he got to the point where he couldn't make a two-foot putt. He got that, you know, upset and that nervous. And I said, man, Tommy, you're getting out professional hitters at 82 miles an hour, and you're tricking them and keeping them off balance and stuff. And I said, what happened out there today? And he said, man, this is just not my arena. You know, give me a ball. Let me, you know, change speeds, get them, you know, down and in, up and away, keep people off balance. That's what I do. This just made me so uncomfortable. But talk a little bit about the mental toughness that it takes to pitch for in the big leagues.
Well, it's incredibly difficult. Look, and I think that this is something that resonates with any of your listeners, no matter what you do for a living. When you're succeeding, things are great. And whatever you're doing, it's going well. Whatever you do at work, when you're doing good, you're doing good, and you're feeling the flow, and you're working it. But when you're having downtimes, like, that's where it really gets to you. So I mentioned in Double A, feeling like I'm 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I had times in the big league standing on the mound where I felt like I was a couple of inches high trying to get out monsters. Like, that's how quickly things can change. And the hard part, and the ones that are so successful for the longest time, certainly there's God-given abilities, and they work their tails off to be able to get there. But mentally, they've got it more dialed in than a lot of the other guys. So focusing on that aspect of it, the focusing on it, and you know this from your career, of the focusing on what you can control and not all the other noise, it's difficult to do. And you got to be able to tone stuff out. But I will say this part of it. When you're on the mound, generally, you don't hear the thousands of people. You don't hear the noise, whether it's the cheers at home or it's the boos on the road, which I got a couple of those. I had a fun story where I hit Prince Fielder on the road and ended up getting a couple of boos in that one. But it's kind of a white noise, and you do get locked in. I don't know how many of your listeners have seen that movie For the Love of the Game, where Kevin Costner harnesses the mechanism, I think is what he called it. But that's kind of what it is. It's laser focus. And if you allow yourself to drift at all, if your laser focus just isn't there for an inning or a hell of a pitch, if it's not there, well, they're going to make you pay for it. The guys that do this at the highest level, these hitters are so ridiculously talented. There's no time for room, or no room for time off. So it's a mental grind for sure. Like everything else, when things are going well, it's easy. But when things are going bad, dude, it's tough. I'll tell you this. Once I retired from baseball, and I loved it, I love playing so much. I miss the competition. I miss my friends. I miss the camaraderie. I sleep better. I'll tell you that, Jay. I sleep a lot better than I did before because I'm just not anxious of, like, that next day and that next matchup.
Okay, that's going to wrap up the front nine, but don't go anywhere. We're going to finish this Brad Thompson interview on the back nine. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
Hey, everybody, it's Vince Gill. You're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing.
If you have a car and you're struggling to get some protection for that car, let me recommend Vehicle Assurance. 1-866-341-9255 is their number. They have been in business for over 10 years and have a 30-day money-back guarantee, which is one of the reasons why they have over 1 million satisfied customers. They are known for their painless claims process and their premium vehicle protection. So whatever that car looks like, they can help you. You can find them at vehicleassurance.com or call them again at 866-341-9255 for a free quote. Get the protection and the peace of mind you deserve.
Hey, it's Meat, and you've been spending a lot of time in your home. I get it. I have too. That's what this pandemic has done to us. And with that time at home, if you've been thinking about upgrading your home, maybe a pool, Wilson Pools Plus, those are the people to call. Jay did it. He was recommended by Bernie Federko, and trust me, you will love it. Wilson Pools Plus, not only do they build pools, but they can also completely service the existing pool that you may have, or they can refurbish your deck and patio areas. They can install a new cover, a new heater, you name it, Wilson Pools Plus can handle it. You can reach them now, 314-421-1301, or on the Metro East, call 618-632-2386. Or you can also find them online at wilsonpoolsplus.com.
Hey, this is my buddy Joe Sheezer, and he's with USA Mortgage.
Good morning, Jay. How you doing today?
Great, Joe. Thanks so much for the support.
Oh, we really enjoy it. Thank you. We look forward to the show every Sunday morning. We love all the information and all the great tips, and we all sit around the radio on in the morning. I'd love to listen to your show.
Like the good old days, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I get the wife and the kids and the dog, and we wait for Whack and Chase to come on. It's our favorite part of the show. Which one are you? Are you Whack or Chase?
Oh, no, I'm Whack because I'll hit it, and then because Pearlie's also a caddy, he's got to go chase it.
Which he's the chaser.
Yeah, he's got the worst end of the stick there.
Well, we really enjoy it, and thank you so much for having us on the show.
Don't miss the hottest rookie class in PGA Tour Champions history. Stars like Phil Mickelson, Ernie Els, Jim Furyk, and more compete at Norwood Hills Country Club, September 6th through the 12th. Join legends Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, and Hale Irwin to celebrate the PGA Tour Champions' newest event. Professional golf returning to St. Louis in 2021. The Ascension Charity Classic presented by Emerson. Tickets, clubhouse passes, hospitality suites, pro-am foursomes on sale now. Visit ascensioncharityclassic.com.
You've seen it and played it in bars over the past 30 years, and now you can bring Golden Tee to your home. Complete your basement or man cave with the popular arcade game, The Ultimate Virtual Golfing Experience. Over 80 courses, unique game modes, and you can even challenge a buddy in online tournaments. However you play, you will be the talk of your neighborhood. Visit home.goldentee.com to learn more.
We're halfway there. It's time for the Back Nine on Golf with Jay Delsing.
The Back Nine is brought to you by Fogelbach Agency with Farmers Insurance.
Welcome back to Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. Pearlie is with me, and we're headed to the Back Nine that is brought to you by the Fogelbach Agency with Farmers. 314-398-0101. Ed Fogelbach is a great guy. He's got three of his kids working at the agency with him. If you have any sort of insurance needs for your company, for your family, anything, give Ed a call at 314-398-0101. All right, let's get back to the second half of the Brad Thompson interview.
Brad pitched his team to a victory, but not before giving up an absolute bomb.
Oh, yeah, we had a great time. Sir, everybody had a great time. Anybody following my career knows I can do a couple things. I can get some ground balls, got some of those, and I can give up some home runs, and I did one of those. So congratulations to Skip here, who was the player of the game, hit a 326-foot home run.
Thank you. I'm surprised they found the ball because there's no way that was 326, but if all people had hit off of Brad Thompson, my number one. I don't remember my home runs. I hit so many of them in the major leagues. This one I'll never forget, ever.
Brad Thompson is brought to you by Golden Tee.
You know something, BT, what's really cool, when you get to the big league level, those professional hitters don't miss your mistakes at all. It's just it's unbelievable how I watch a pitch that's just a little bit off, and these guys punish the ball. And the similarities, Bud, is that I could play a round of golf and I could be 5-6 under par going to 18 and make some sort of uncommitted swing, and I can completely undo the round by where I hit this ball. I can hit it in a spot where it's going to take me four to get out, you know, and rack up a double bogey or something. And it's the same thing with you guys on the mound, right? You know, one pitch can destroy the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure. Like when you were talking about that, right, the one uncommitted swing, I think about the inning where you're facing, and just, you know, here's an example of guys that were there when I was playing, you know, the Brewers, right? You have Ryan Braun and you have Prince Fielder. If you're playing against the Phillies, it was Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Ryan Howard. Like if you navigate through those guys and you get through there, you got to execute some pitches. I mean, you got to focus, right? But the biggest mistake that you could possibly do when you get through the meat of a lineup is taking that deep breath and saying, whew, now it's smooth sailing. then all of a sudden smooth sailing is you backing up bases and you end up in a hole because you weren't fully concentrated. You were uncommitted for a couple of pitches. And that's all it takes, you know, is that small period of time where your focus isn't exactly where it should be that makes all the difference in the world.
Brad, I so agree. What was the toughest thing about playing in the bigs? And tell us a little bit about the mental side, which we talked about, but then talk about the physical side too, because the human arm, you're a right-hander, the human shoulder, the elbow, you know, Michaelis is going through problems. You see it every year. It's not meant to do what you guys do to it.
No, it's not. And the maddening thing when it comes to arm health and arm strength is you can have a pitcher that has perfect mechanics and everything that he does is to a T, and every doctor will say, that's how you should throw. That's the guy you should emulate. And then that guy has Tommy John because that's how it is. You can have some other guy that has a funky mechanics and he puts a lot of stress on his arm, but God made him differently and he's good to go. But the physical aspect, the toll that it ends up taking, it's a difficult one, certainly for guys too that get called upon every day. I remember watching, and this is a teammate, one of my favorites ever, and I have such a profound respect for Jason Isringhausen, especially later in his career. That dude was so banged up. He had the bad hips, the arm, I mean, everything. I mean, he hurt walking to the mound to start throwing, but he would be able to overcome and work out all these kinks just to get out there and answer the bell. The guys that answer the bell every day, to me, are so incredible that they're able to do that because it's you're asked to do a lot. So that part of it is definitely there, and it goes into, I'm sure, a lot like your career, right? What work do you put in beforehand? Because you can't just roll out of bed and play an entire PGA Tour season. You can't just roll out of bed and play a Major League Baseball season. You better be working to make sure you're ready throughout the entire time. And from a physical aspect, that's something I learned. Like, I worked hard in the off seasons because I had to. Like, I knew that I needed that little extra. I didn't have all the abilities that jump off the page. But you always think you work hard until you see somebody that works hard. And I remember watching in between starts because my hard work a lot of times was during the off season. That's where I'd really pound it. During the season, it would kind of be maintenance. I watched Chris Carpenter when I got called up in 05. He ended up winning the Cy Young. I watched that dude work in between starts and said to myself, I need to make some changes. Like, I want to do what he's doing. I want to be the guy that is here, you know, and our roles were different. Certainly our talent levels were different, but drive and work ethic, you can be, on the same page. I watched him work and said, I want to do the things that he's doing. And I learned a lot about watching other people work and what I needed to do for myself from the physical side of it. And on the mental side, like you said, we hit on it a little bit, but it's one of those things where you can be your own worst enemy at times, or you can be your own best advocate. And the key is to keep that balance. The key is to, if you have a bad day, know that the next one's going to be great. And if you have a great day, know that the next one could go awry if you don't do the right things. And it's one of those things that happens in life. We get the ups and downs, but you can't ride them. And that was one of the hardest things in my career. Physically, yes, it was difficult. Mentally, though, that's what got to me. I'd end up having times in my career. I had the ups and downs on the field, certainly, but I had them in transactions as well. It would be, 2 weeks in the big leagues, a week in the minor leagues, 2 weeks in the big leagues, a week in the minor leagues, and that can wear you out mentally, but you can't let it. Like, you have to continue to keep fighting, to keep battling, because the shelf life is short, and as soon as you let any of that stuff take over, as soon as I get sent down to AAA, and this is a lesson that I learned quickly, because the first time I got sent down, I was down in the dumps about it, but as soon as you let that happen to yourself, well, people are going to pass you by. Like, you got a small time to make a big mark, and mentally you have to be ready for that.
This is Golf with Jay Delsing, and I'm visiting with World Series champion Brad Thompson. You know, Brad, it's so interesting because the guys on the PGA Tour just love to watch you beat yourself up, love to watch you get really pissed off, love to watch one bogey lead to two, three, four more bogeys because they don't have to worry about you then. And when I watch Tiger play, and I didn't get to watch Jack at, knowing what I know now, you know, like I do with Tiger, and watching what these guys could do, I just marvel at it. Who was the best, who was the strongest mentally in the MLB that you played with?
Well, my first thing goes to the same guy that I mentioned earlier when I watched him work, is Chris Carpenter. That's the first guy that I think of from a pitching standpoint, who was just mentally above everybody else. And the preparation was there, as I mentioned, the physical preparation. The preparation when it's digging into video and tendencies and having a game plan, that part of it was there. But he was just, I'm trying to find the right word. He was damn mean on a game day, but it was mean and focused. Like, even as a teammate and members of the media knew it, like, if it was game day and Carp was pitching, don't even look at him. Like, just make sure you could be walking in the same direction he's coming at you. Just feel your eyes a little bit because the man on a mission is coming through. And you would see that through the entire game. And every single pitch, that intensity was there. The intent was there all the time. And you referenced, you know, the one swing that gets away and then all of a sudden your game gets away. He never let that happen. Like, he was so dialed in on every single pitch. And again, just a guy, I didn't have to talk to him to learn. Like, I just learned by watching him go about his business. Incredibly mentally tough. And then it'd be, you know, remiss to not bring up Yadier Molina when you watch that guy. 18th year, dude, still doing it in his 18th year. And you want to talk about a guy that can compartmentalize his game, right? The beginning of his career, Tony La Russa basically told him, hey, I don't even care if you bring a bat up there with you to hit, just catch and just make sure you call great games. Well, he's always thinking steps and steps ahead. And I know a lot of your listeners saw over the weekend where he had the back pick on the pinch runner for the Astros, ended up trying to steal, and just a cat and mouse game. The guy is so ridiculously talented, but so mentally locked in. There are no lapses. There is no downtime. There is no, hey, let me just go back here for an inning and I'll catch and I'm going to worry about my at-bat. That guy is just so dialed in all the time, and I love it. I hope he never retires. I hope we talk about every offseason for at least the next 5 years of, I don't know if Yadi's coming back, and then he ends up coming back again.
Oh, my gosh. And the dude is tough as nails. I mean, from a physical aspect, that position is so demanding, and you're just getting – he has taken so many foul balls off of body parts that should never be hit with a baseball, and you're just like, oh, my gosh, come on.
Yeah, you'd see him, like, you notice the ones, if you're watching on TV or if you're at Busch Stadium and you see a game, like, you could tell, like, ooh, that one ended up getting him. Well, for everyone that you can tell got him, there were probably 15 others that ended up nicking some sort of a body part. I mean, you look at him after a game and look halfway through the season, near the end of the season, he's one big walking bruise and one big ice pack, right? But he's going to do everything to make sure that he's in every game. And That's a cool part, too, because you'd watch him. He wants to catch the day game after a night game. He wants to catch both ends of a doubleheader. Hell, we saw him in spring training early already this year, catching in the seventh inning of a ball game because, you know, he wanted to get another at-bat and wanted to work with some different guys. They don't build him like that. Like, they don't. Like, I think that a lot of guys are very happy to, all right, well, I'm going to go in. I'm going to put in my work. Oh, you're right. I probably could use a couple of off days here and there. Maybe that's going to be better for me in the future. And certainly there's some validity to downtime of being at your best at the end of the year. Yadi's just not wired like that. He wants to be out there and he wants to impact every single game. And the beauty of it is he impacts every game. He can go 0-for-4 with four punch outs, but he's still navigating a young pitching staff or even a veteran pitching staff from start to finish. Like, everything is thought out. I have such a profound respect for that guy, the way that he goes about it and what he has meant for this organization. And I don't know if you did the same thing that I did during the off season, but I let myself start picturing him in other uniforms and it was disgusting. It killed me.
I'm like, this can't happen.
I know.
No, this can't happen. I'm so glad it didn't. Brad, did you guys get to play much golf on the road? I know that most of the position players don't play anymore, but a lot of the pitchers, I know Greg Maddux was notorious at playing, you know, almost 3 days a week.
Yeah, Jay, unfortunately for me, I was always the guy that was clinging to my major league life. So I never really had a chance to golf as much as I would like to. And I was kind of in and out of the rotation. We'd play here and there. Spring training, we'd play more. We also would do every year when I was in the bullpen, we would do a bullpen golf trip. So we'd pick a day where we had an off day on the road, and we would all dress up like idiots. Like everybody's wearing, you better at least have knickers or something. Wearing the hats and doing it up and just making a mockery of an entire golf course, but trying hard. But I never got the opportunity to play as much as I wanted. And I got to tell you, and I'm pretty sure you know this, when you don't play a lot of golf, it is very difficult to be good at it, Jay.
It's my dad always told me the hardest thing ever was trying to hit a, you know, a round ball with a round bat, like, you know, a baseball moving 100 miles an hour and all over the place. And then he started playing golf. And I said, Dad, he's like, well, this ball's still, so it's got to be easier. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right, we're not even going to have this conversation.
You would think so. The funny thing is, so my son is, he'll be 8 in May, and just last week, we're trying to get him, you know, doing more stuff. He plays some baseball, plays some soccer, but I wanted him to start playing a little golf. Well, like, we'll hit balls around in the backyard and just kind of chip stuff around here and there. But had him go to his first lesson last week. And when he got home, I said, hey, buddy, like, show me some of the stuff that you learned. And he was showing me, like, you know, just different grip, hand position on the golf club. And the following day, we went out in the backyard, same stuff, working on it. And he was showing me his grip, his swing. And you, I'll be damned, I held the club like he showed me, like my 7-year-old son showed me. And I'm hitting the ball straight, dude. And it's like everything feels good. I'm not slicing it. My hand's on top. I felt powerful. You guys are amazing. And it's this small, tiny adjustment, right? Like a little thing that can be different. And that's where pitching and golf align so much, is because if I'm throwing a slider and my finger is just barely on the side of that thing instead of on top of it, I'm getting the spin, the horizontal spin instead of the vertical drop, right? That's the difference between a double and a swing and miss. For you, if you know this club face doesn't come through clean and you're trying to hit a, you know, it opens up a little bit and all of a sudden you end up shanking the ball, it's so slight, it's so subtle. I think that there's so many similarities there, and I'm pumped up. My son's got another golf lesson today, and I can't wait to learn something myself.
Okay, so that's going to do it for the Back Nine Pearl. I just love some of those baseball stories. It reminds me so much of my dad. This guy is such – there's so much to learn from him and about what he said. I can't wait to break this down with you.
I agree. Looking forward to it.
All right, that'll and we'll do that on the Back Nine.
Yep.
Nope, we'll do that on the 19th hole. Yeah, let's try it there. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
This is Bill DeWitt III, president of the St. Louis Cardinals, and you're talking to Jay Delsing. And wait, oh, sorry, what's the name of the show?
Golf with Jay Delsing.
Oh, okay, let me start it.
Many of us have had or know someone that has had COVID and continue to have lingering symptoms such as fatigue, headache, low stamina, short-term memory loss, and vertigo or concentration issues. SSM Health Physical Therapy has specially trained physical therapists to evaluate the lingering effects of this virus. They will give one-on-one care to help get their patients back to their pre-COVID lifestyles. SSM Health Physical Therapists will give you a personalized evidence-based program to help get your life back. There's 80 locations in the St. Louis area. Call 800-518-1626 or visit them on the web at ssmphysicaltherapy.com. Your therapy, our passion.
Are you looking for a great career? Do you like meeting nice people, working with your hands, and fixing things inside the home? Marcone Appliance Parts Company would like to encourage you to consider a high-paying career in major appliances repair and service. Major appliance service technicians are in very high demand. Major appliance techs work regular hours and make excellent money. They work local, in their own communities, and are home every night. It is an incredibly stable industry and highly rewarding work. Discover more about your new career in major appliance services today by contacting a local appliance service company in your hometown. In St. Louis or St. Charles County, contact Brian Probst at AAA Home Services. The phone number is 636-299-3871. Marcone Appliance Parts Company is based in St. Louis, Missouri, and is the largest distributor of major appliance parts in North America and proud distributor of General Electric Parts.
I know you've heard me talk about Whitmore Country Club. I want to thank them for supporting the show again for the third year and tell you things are going great for them. There's 90 holes of golf when you join at the Whitmore Country Club. The membership provides you access to the Missouri Bluffs, the Links of Dardenne, and the Golf Club of Wentzville. Cart fees are included. There's no food or beverage minimums and no assessments. 24-hour fitness center is fantastic. There's two large pool complexes and three tennis courts. Stop in the golf shop. You got to see my buddy Bummer. He is an absolute great guy that would love to help you with your game and love to show you around the facility. He and his staff run golf leagues, skins games, members tournaments, couples events. There's live music. There's great dining opportunities out there, outside, inside. Anything you and your family need golf-wise, fun-wise, visit WhitmoreGolf.com or call them at 636-926-9622.
Professional golf returns to St. Louis in 2021. The Ascension Charity Classic, presented by Emerson. Stars like Phil Mickelson, Ernie Els, Jim Furyk, and more compete at Norwood Hills Country Club, September 6th through the 12th. Tickets, clubhouse passes, hospitality suites, and pro-am foursomes are on sale now. All proceeds go to North St. Louis County Charities. Visit AscensionCharityClassic.com or call 314-938-2828. PGA Tour Golf is back in the Lou. The Ascension Charity Classic.
Have you met your local Farmers Insurance agent, Ed Fogelbach? He proudly serves St. Louis area families and businesses and is ready to review your existing policies and provide a no-obligation quote today. Call the Fogelbach Agency at 314-398-0101 to get smarter about your insurance. Again, that's the Fogelbach Agency with Farmers Insurance at 314-398-0101.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
I want to tell you about Dean Team Volkswagen of Kirkwood. My friend Colin Burnt runs the store over there, and he helped me buy a used Volkswagen for my daughter Jo when she turned 16. We've had the car for over a year. It's running great. It's nice and safe, and we've taken it there to get it serviced just recently. Pearlie, that does the show with me, just bought a nice Toyota truck from Colin. So I want you to know that if there's any sort of vehicle you need, anything at all, you can get it at the Dean Team Volkswagen of Kirkwood. You can call them at 314-966-0303 or visit them at DeanTeamVWKirkwood.com.
Grab your friends, a cold one, and pull up a chair. We're on to the 19th hole on golf with Jay Delsing.
The 19th hole is brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
Hey, this is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. Pearlie is with me, and we are on the 19th hole brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Oh, man, nothing better than we'll have a little Ultra right now, Pearl, and we'll talk a little the Brad Thompson interview.
Perfect. Perfect.
What's the biggest thing that stuck out in your mind from that chat we had?
There's a lot, but it's a couple of the scenarios that were so like your career. His going back to AA, AAA a couple times, you going back to tour school. Him knowing he had to keep improving just to maintain. How many times have we talked about how much you improved just to be able to stay out there? Not to necessarily leap up, but there's just that improvement. I thought that was great. I think his general attitude, like yours as well. I just thought there's a lot of similarities between the paths you guys took in two different sports.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, he said, I was never the best player on any team I played in. Little League, anything.
But that was said, that really struck me because, you know, we were brought up to go, well, if you're not the superstar, if you're not this, and if you don't accomplish this, or let's say you just love it and you want to keep on going and you don't know when you're going to mature or when that opportunity is going to present itself. And by the way, when it does, do something about it.
Yeah, he sees the hell out of it. Yep. He said he dropped down a little bit sidearm, and all of a sudden nobody could hit him. And hell, he throws 57 scoreless innings in double-A ball for the Tennessee Smokies. I mean, are you kidding me?
I love the name of these minor league teams.
Oh, I know. They're
all
fantastic.
All I can be thinking was Wild Thing, Bull Durham, the movies you know, come out there because you know that's the way these guys lived.
Well, I brought up the Bull Durham interview because my dad actually hit the bull down there, and he said they bought him a steak at the restaurant.
By the way,
night.
Of sports movies, you know, Caddyshack, you know, there's a couple good ones in golf, but there are a couple good ones. There's a couple good football ones that are so-so. Yep. The baseball ones, I think are the best of the sports movies, just because of all the characters and all the stories they've got.
The Field of Dreams
was the best.
Fantastic. And then the...
Bull Durham with Susan Sarandon and breathing through your eyelids.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it didn't get a whole lot better than that.
And the rose goes in the front, cowboy. You know? just fantastic. And I will say this. I don't know about the other athletes, but baseball players, from what I know, are crazy superstitious.
Jay, they have so much time on their hands. I mean, think about what's going on there. You're out playing golf. We're practicing for an hour or so before you play. You're warming up before that. We have 8-9 hour days. These guys, even if they're playing, they're not doing a heck of a lot necessarily. If you're a catcher, yes. If you're a pitcher, yes. But, I mean, the rest of the guys are kind of like, maybe a ball comes to me this game, maybe it doesn't.
Right.
I guess I got to stand up there and bat maybe every couple, 2, 3, or 4 innings. There's a lot of time for those guys to be thinking, and they're thinking crazy stuff out there.
Oh, my gosh. It is so true. I can remember some of the rituals that you'll see. Watch these guys come to home plate, and they're like, tap, 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 tap. I'll be like, oh, my gosh, I forgot to tap. Hang on, time out. I got to do this over.
Well, I was in Detroit when it was Mark the Bird Fidrich.
Oh, yeah.
And him doing all those antics and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's so many characters through the years.
I can remember, because my family is superstitious. My sister, Moochie, when Taylor was playing in the MLS, she would only eat pork that day and do all this. And I was like, oh, my gosh. When I was playing, I had all this stuff heaped on me, and I'm like, I have to have a nickel in this pocket. And then finally I'm like, I'm done with this. I can't even remember what I'm supposed to do.
Which sister was the one that put the names in a jar and froze it in the freezer to keep?
Oh, yeah, Moo did that. Oh, yeah. If you pissed her off, she put your name on a piece of paper and slapped it in the freezer. I'm not sure what that did.
I had a couple lean years. I was just wondering, was that where I was?
No. Oh, my gosh. But we had all these... mark your ball heads up, mark your ball tails up. I'm like, I'm not making any putts. Going to just mark my ball and, you know, stand the coin on its edge.
But sports in general can do that to you, whether it's golf or baseball or anything else. Okay, what was your favorite part of this interview? Again, I think I'm saying this a lot these days because I think you're killing it. But great interview, and what a fun guy to talk to.
I loved what he circled back about his young son, and he's giving his son golf lessons, and his son comes back and gives dad a couple pointers like, Dad, you don't put your hands on the club right. And Brad's like, I put my hands on there right. I was striping it right down, right in the backyard with my son.
What a surprise. It goes better when you do it right.
Yeah. I know. It's just terrific. And I've gotten to know Brad a little bit through, you know, the Fast Lane is such a popular show, and Brad, you know, produces the Fast Lane. It's the most popular drive show here in St. Louis, and so, you know, we've seen the guys in the studio from time to time, and just watching him play and being a fan of his, and never meeting him, and now getting to meet him. I'm a huge fan of his.
One other fun point on that was when you guys were talking about not losing focus, and he said he get through the tough part of the lineup, and all of a sudden loses focus, and somebody just rip it out there. Man, can you relate to golf in that way, or what? Get through a couple tough holes, get several under par, think you're on a roll, and then kind of lose focus, and this thing can go. And then what happens when you hit one bad one? Oops, I'm capable of hitting a bad one. Now all of a sudden my confidence just went from I own this thing to where am I, who am I, and how the hell am I going to finish?
Yeah, no doubt, John. And I mean, there were times early in my career where I would let that go, and I'd hit it in the water laying up on a par five or something. Just used to chap me, like I would be so pissed off, you know. And it's you don't get that opportunity to let up on that concentration at all.
And especially on those kind of golf courses. I mean, it's kind of funny now because you're not playing anymore, but the things that would happen, and it would be things like chipping it out. You know, you'd be a little disappointed because you're in the trees, be this wide open alley to chip it back into the fairway.
And hit a tree.
You hit a tree and go further than what
I got. I got to tell that story when we're down in Louisiana. I hooked this. I don't know, Pearlie probably gave me a bad yardage or something, but I hooked this ball over left of a green, and it rolls down this embankment and somehow hops this little bitty creek. It's only about 6-8 inches wide and maybe at 2 inches deep, just enough to cover a ball. And I'll tell you why I know how it covered a ball. So we're looking up there, and Pearlie and I, we got to go under this tree, and we got to go this, we got to do that. And I'm like, I got this. I get up there, and there's a lip on the curb that's what, Pearl?
2 inches, 3 inches high.
I do everything except get it over the lip of the curb. It hits that thing, goes behind us in this creek that's got enough water in it to cover the damn ball.
He had 8-iron in for the second shot, and we ended on a par 4 and ended up making an 8.
Oh.
And he was very much in the hunt because he had made like 600 to that point. He goes like 900 the rest of the tournament and still finishes top five or something like that. And I'm thinking, if we just would have kept that 8-iron from the middle of the fairway in play, you would have won this damn thing.
If I could have just shanked it, put it in a bunker, and made double bogey, I might have won.
We had double easy.
Man, if someone had told me, I'd have thought about shanking it. But, oh, my gosh, why do we have to talk about that stuff? That's why I have all the gray hair and wrinkles. Damn. Well, that's going to wrap up another show, Pearl. Thanks for being with us. Meet, thank you for taking such great care of us here. And we will see you next week. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. Hit 'em straight, St. Louis.